Checking in with Quincy Mayor Thomas Koch for our weekly City Hall update. And the Mayor, happy Cinco de Mayo.
Big day, huh?
It is May, thankfully.
It is May. We miss Clean and Greener, and we're going to be inside for Cinco de Mayo, too. So.
And yeah, it looks
beautiful
like
morning, that. Though. It is a beautiful morning. I mean, it's a beautiful spring day.
Our actually, without Cleaner Greener, are the parks and DPW crews out there cleaning up as best they can?
Well, our DPW park crews are all back to full force, so they'll be out doing that. We're probably going to do a Saturday or two over the next couple of weeks with private contractors doing the beaches. Mm-hmm. We don't want any, you know, public participants. We're just going to go and get as much of the big stuff as we can to get them ready for the season. So, you know, encourage people to, you know, clean up in their neighborhood anyway. I mean, I frequently go out with a bag at night and pick up my stuff because I live between schools and variety stores and there's always someone leaving something behind. But if we all did our little part, the city would be a lot cleaner, although we do have a good clean city.
Sure. Even sidewalks and gutters right outside your home will be helpful, I'm sure.
Exactly. Yep. I mean, everyone used to do that years ago. Even shop owners, I'd see them out early in the morning doing it in the business district.
You know? Oh, sure. Absolutely. Yeah. So it's a good time, I guess, to remind folks, there's been some issues, I know, not only in Quincy, but all over about gloves and masks being discarded improperly.
Yes. Yes, that is a problem. I don't know what people are thinking if, you know, they're using them to keep from getting the virus or spreading the virus, and they're just going to throw them on the ground for somebody else to pick up, you know, it's aggravating. You have plenty of trash receptacles around, and, you know, throw them in a little bag and take them home, throw them in the rubbish at home. I mean,
right.
Yeah, come on, common sense and a little courtesy.
Yep, exactly. This was a beautiful weekend. Was there a problem with social distancing at all in the parks?
Well, we did have four extra cruises on over the weekend, just making stops at all the parks and schoolyards, and, you know, encouraging people. You know, we don't mean to be out and certainly not going to arrest somebody, but encouraging people to follow the guidelines. You know, it's you know, disheartening a little bit when people don't pay attention. You know, I don't know if they realize, but, you know, they could be transmitting something to a grandmother or a mother or a parent. So it's, you know, there's a reason we're supposed to be doing this. And you know, overall, it has been working out. So the numbers are showing it, just as it was suggested by the governor several weeks ago when we would have the surge period, which we have. And now we're plateauing and going the other direction, which is tremendous. So what we're doing is working.
Yeah, can talk a little bit about, I know in your update yesterday, you kind of gave a good analysis or breakdown of some of the statistics, particularly for Quincy, in terms of infection rates and the trend down. I was mostly surprised at the downward trend in the rate of infections.
Yes, that's been it's been a steady decline in the increase. Now, I'd like to emphasize that we're not out of the woods. You know, this isn't over, but you know, that first week, March 30th, we were up 500%, better than 500% on the increase in infection that first week. And then it was, you know, it's steadily declining as far as the rate of increase. And this past week, it was, you know, we went from 80 to 60 to 40, you know, in the 20% range. So we're going in the right direction, which is, you know, I know everyone reads the paper, looks at the news, and, you know, for many weeks we've seen those charts that shows the bell curve and the surge and the flattening, and so we're in that time now where we're plateauing, so we're making good progress. We certainly don't want to go in the other direction, so we're grateful for people that are cooperating. I mean, the reality is the heavy numbers are are heavily the rehab centers and nursing homes. That's a good percentage of the infections have been, and of course we had 30 deaths just in one rehab center, so it's been pretty concentrated in that age bracket and those that have been susceptible. I think the average age of deaths has been 81. The average age of infection was in the 50s, but the average age of death was 81. And this was some you know, some analysis done by our team based on all the numbers that Luke Jones provides us. And I think it's a good sign. I mean, we're not, for a city our size, you know, we're pretty reasonable. I know other cities of 100,000 have far more infection rates than we do per 100,000 people. So those are decent numbers. Obviously, when anyone dies, it's not a good thing. But I think what we've been doing has prevented the death of more people and the infection rate to go down. So we got to hold the course a little bit, recognizing that, you know, at some point we got to start ramping up and opening things up again. You know, I expressed my opinion recently to the lieutenant governor and the governor that, you know, people also need outlets. I mean, you know, it's great to close the parking on Wallace and Beach, but everyone's parking on the side streets and walking the beach anyway. Yeah, you know, we closed the Blue Hills, but you could see in the news over the weekend the Blue Hills was jammed because they just park at where the gates are locked instead of being able to drive through the Blue Hills. Some people just like to drive through and enjoy it. So I think we got to take a closer look at some of the rules we've established. You know, we have 3 golf courses in Quincy, and, you know, I think they could be open safely. You know, I think that, you know, someone going in the supermarket or the liquor store as far higher rate of a problem than somebody out distancing on the golf course. You know, you're grabbing your own ball along the way. And I think people need some outlets like that. And by the way, we also share in the revenue of these golf courses. So, you know, Norfolk County has presidents, and that's important for the county for revenue. And, you know, the Granite Links, of course, provides revenue to the city. So, and Furnace Brook is in the final year of being a private course, yeah, semi-public, I should say. They're just trying to make it to the limp to the end of the finish line, then the city's going to be taking that over. So, you know, so for the right reasons, I think things like that have to be looked at. I'm not saying we flip the switch, open everything up again, but mm-hmm. I know that the governor and lieutenant governor and we as mayors and colleagues, we're working on different guidelines on how to reopen certain things. And, you know, I know barbershops and hair salons, they're all looking for guidelines to follow. You know, restaurants, they may open with less capacity, spread people out a little bit more. I mean, there's all kinds of adjustments that are going to have to be made initially. And so we don't, you know, jump right back in up to our waist here and all of a sudden, you know, the numbers start to spike again. So it's incumbent upon all of us to do our part here. And there's no right or wrong or perfect answer. Mm-hmm. We're just trying to make the right decisions for the good of everybody.
Yeah, I'm sure that the goal is not to negate all the success we've had up to this point, because it could just very easily go square one.
That's true. The flip side is, you know, I think it'll be months from now before we look back and look at the data and the stats on the other issues. You know, domestic violence being up, alcoholism, you know, addiction issues and overdoses and mental disorders. I mean, there's, you know, the anxiety that comes with this and people, you know, not being able to do certain routines also has an effect and a consequence. And, you know, some of those mental disorders turn into physical disorders. And, you know, we got to be careful of that, too. So there is a balance here that we're trying to strike, you know.
Sure. Yeah, obviously, there won't be quote unquote traditional graduation ceremonies, at least in the short term. But what's being done to recognize the class of 2020, Mayor?
Yeah, actually, the superintendent and his team, the principals, vice principals, have worked with Mark Carey from our office on coming up with a real beautiful video to, you know, commemorate. It's obvious we won't have an outdoor graduation on the night we usually have it.
Right.
So in place of that, we're looking to do something meaningful video-wise that people can tap into and really, really enjoy. It's mm-hmm. going to be well done. With the idea that, okay, maybe a few weeks out, but during the summer, we can actually have a ceremony. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's no replacing the ceremony. I mean, we're trying to address the whole issue of, you know, these kids have been out of school, these kids, it's their last year. Everybody remembers their senior year in high school. And you know, everyone's looking to move on, but in a way that they've enjoyed their classmates, their teachers. And that's the point when you really are finishing out strong and you're it's a great time in people's lives. So it's very difficult, I know, for these kids and their families. So we don't want to just cancel graduation. I know early on we talked about this video, people assume we're just not going to have any program at all. That's not what the intention was or is. The deal is we're doing this to, you know, commemorate what would normally be that night in early June, 6th or 7th on that range. And then later when we, you know, get the green light, if we get the green light, that we can gather in larger numbers. The stadium is big enough, I think we can do it. We can spread people out. Maybe we restrict the amount of family members that can go. I mean, it does hold a few thousand there, so we should be able to accommodate a fair amount of people while we are, you know, following the guidelines set forth by the state and CDC. So, you know, it's one of those things, we're playing it by ear, but we didn't want to let the date itself go by without commemorating it. Sure. And certainly honoring our seniors.
How is the remote learning going? Have you heard any reports about that?
Well, I, you know, it's going, and the teachers are working very hard on it. But it's not easy. You know, it's everybody's got issues. It's tough. I don't know that I could work from home, Joe. You know, I mean, I'm in the office every day, Saturdays and Sundays, and I don't know that I could work from home with distractions. Mm-hmm. So it's going to be hard for a parent to have their kid paying attention to the virtual learning. And, you know, the teachers have same issues. They get their own kids at home and trying to do this. And I think they're doing an admirable job. It doesn't replace the classroom work, for sure. But it does provide an opportunity for that mind to keep growing and you know, the learning and that environment for the kids, even though it's not quite the same as the classroom. So it's something we need to do, and there's no question about it. But, you know, we should, you know, I know we have discussions at the school committee, and sometimes I think we get a little carried away at what the expectations are. You know, we got to be practical and realistic here. Mm-hmm. And everybody, every school district in the country is in the same boat. In other countries are in the same boat. So it's not like our district is going to fall behind someone else. You know, it is what it is. And I think that next year is going to be an interesting year and probably a lot more on the kids' plates to try to play a little catch up. And, you know, if we loosen up some of this social distancing and all, you know, we may do some enrichment programs in the schools during the summer, but we're planning for some of that. But until we know the numbers and when we can loosen things up, we can't, you know, actually do it. So, you know, people mean well, everybody's working at it. I know that staff and teachers are doing an incredible job. Staff will probably be going back into the schools, some of the secretaries in Paris, to close out the year, to close out files and prepare actually for next year's, you know, the passing on of files for everyone being promoted to the next grade. So there's some work to be done still in the schools, but obviously we're not going back in the classroom setting.
Right. I mean, the argument could be made too that the kids are developing, you know, different skills they might not have had this not happen in terms of time management and organization and communication. That needs to be looked at probably in the years ahead as well.
Yeah, I think you're being very positive and optimistic. Kids are kids. I'd like to think so.
Yeah.
You know, they're certainly getting good at technology. I mean,
that's right.
You know, that's certainly a benefit out of it. And you know, with us, some of the stimulus money, we're going to be purchasing about $2.2 billion worth of technology.
Oh, okay.
So going into September, every school kid in our city that's fifth grade to the 12th grade will receive a Chromebook, so that they can take it home with them.
Wow.
Well, you know, the plan there is if we have to shut down for a period of time next year, but even in addition to that, even if we don't, this is a great thing for the kids to have, to doing homework and assignments and, you know, to use that technology and get better at it. I mean, so that's the world we live in. So it's good training for them just in that. But, you know, we're hoping that, you know, we get this behind us and we get back to some normalcy, but we've got to prepare for what could be a resurgence next fall.
Yeah. How do you think the health department has handled the Walmart situation, Mayor?
I think they've done an admirable job. I know the health commissioner, Ruth Jones, was getting very frustrated with the management and threatened to close them. And then they made the decision at corporate level to close it themselves. Of course, they had a problem in Worcester. They had more cases in Worcester. I think they had some 80 employees that tested positive, were sick with it. So now it's, you know, hit the pause button for that store and see if we can get as many of the employees tested as we can. Let's get the store completely clean from top to bottom. And, you know, I got a complaint from someone the other day, someone I went to school with, high school with, and they were going in to pick up new contacts or something. And they were astonished at the lack of attention to the guidelines that are out there, both by employees and customers. So they clearly weren't following the guidelines at all. And it's too bad there was a loss of life there. We certainly extend our sympathy to the woman's family, as we do for everyone that has passed during this crisis. But Walmart has a responsibility to its employees, to their health, safety, but also to the health and safety of their customers. And if they didn't close down yesterday, Ruth Jones would have shut them down.
Okay, very good. And I know she won't let them reopen until they pass certain standards.
That's right. I know. Listen, Ruth Jones is very practical. She's not a egomaniac here and acting like a sheriff here. She's very bright. She knows the deal. She's got a nice way about her, and she just wants cooperation. You know, this is for the benefit of the health and safety of everybody, and I keep saying that, but that's what it's all about. And if people aren't going to follow that, then we'll close them down.
I know that you mentioned on your weekly update that the census numbers are down in parts of Quincy. That's a concern, I know.
It is a concern. You know, for the Secretary of State, Bill Galvin, to call me on that, and he actually offered a grant to help us if we need to do some more work on it. See, traditionally, Joe, we'll be out with census workers knocking doors in those mm-hmm. neighborhoods, but we can't do that right now. So it's even more challenging. So anyway, we can get the word out for people to please. I mean, a lot of people are home because they're not, you know, they're not at work. I mean, the census has come in the mail. It's probably on their table. Just fill it out and send it back, please, because mm-hmm. it has a direct effect on our benefits we receive from the federal government. And I know I'm getting sound like obnoxious because they keep repeating that, but it's the fact. So, you know, Ward 2 and Ward 4 are the two weakest wards. And then we had one precinct in Ward 5-1, that was weak as well. So they're below the average of the city. Now, when he read those precincts off to me, I wasn't totally surprised because Ward 2 and Ward 4 are both the poorest voting wards in our city as well. Mm-hmm. So there's I don't know if it's just a general lack of interest or this just the transit people that live in those areas with apartments and so forth. Mm-hmm. It could be that. But whatever the case may be, we've got to do everything we can to encourage people to get those numbers up because it does matter in the end. Yeah. And we know based on our own estimates, when you look at the number of units and there's a formula and a ratio, mm-hmm. number of units, how many people you multiply that, you know, we should be at about 110,000 people, sure. but they have to be counted one by one. And if they don't respond, they don't, you know, then they don't go in the count. So that's a problem for us, and we need to encourage people. Please, 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 if you're listening to this program and you're in touch with other family members in Quincy or neighbors or just friends in general, please encourage them to do it. There is no reason not to do it. I know some immigrants have feared filling them out. This information is only used for the data to provide those formulas on how states and municipalities receive funding and resources. So it's important people respond.
Yep. There are 9 questions. It takes 10 minutes tops.
Yeah, it's not a big deal. Really isn't. And if you don't want to, you know, if you're more tech savvy, you can go on the website and do it. You don't have to do it physically and mail it. You could do it right on online. So encourage people, please, please, please talk to your friends, your neighbors, and your family members, make sure they get that in.
Well, as a prime example, it's federal grant money that's helping with the small business grant program that you just started in Quincy.
That's right. There's the grant money from the stimulus side. There's the community development block grant money. There's Title I in the schools that comes through. There's a number of standard programs that grant money comes through that's based on formulas that have a population as part of it. So it's as simple as that from my perspective. As the mayor of the city, I want to return as many of those federal dollars to our city. I mean, everyone pays federal income tax. Let's get as many of those dollars back to our city as we possibly can. Sure. Why leave it for some other community to grab?
Yeah. Mayor, has any decision been made yet about Flag Day?
Well, we're in discussions now. You know, it's pretty doubtful that we're going to be able to have the Flag Day parade and ceremony. Yeah. We're trying to think if there's another way that we can honor Old Glory. And so we're kicking some ideas around, mm-hmm. but I would say at this point, it's very doubtful that we would have the standard customary event and tradition that we normally have.
Sure. Yes, I mean, it's shoulder to shoulder up at Passion Field on that night for the fireworks.
Yeah, and even along the parade route, people are, you know, particularly that last half a mile, people are pretty tight. And the kids even coming down the street, they're on top of each other, you know.
Sure.
Poking each other with the flags, so it's tough to come up with social guidelines in an event like that, or at least enforce them.
Sure. Appreciate your time, Mayor. Anything else we should touch on this morning?
No, I think we're good.
Yeah.
Always good to chat, Joe. I appreciate you helping us share the information.
Oh, our pleasure. Thank you for the recognition. We'll keep doing it.
Amen. Thank you.
Thank you. Enjoy the day.
Take care. You too.
Bye-bye.